Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, December 18th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We had some breaking news right at the top of the show. We talked about the message President Trump may or may not be sending by announcing a reclassification of marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3 drug in the federal government's drug hierarchy. Former Bridgeport State Rep. Chris Caruso dropped by with his weekly update, including some year-end thoughts regarding the city of Bridgeport. And CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian joined us from D.C. regarding a controversial House vote connected to Affordable Care Act subsidies.
So just mere minutes ago, actually moments ago, and you heard it on CBS News, I'm watching it here in the Connoisseur Media Studios, President Trump, now, maybe he believes in this, maybe he doesn't, maybe he's trying to buy votes, I don't know. I want to hear what you folks think about this, because Lord knows this is something we've talked about here on this program. The president delivered the biggest federal policy win yet for marijuana, yeah, man, reform advocates. Now, with a stroke of his pen, it happened about 3 or 4 minutes ago during that CBS newscast. He ended 55 years of marijuana's categorization as a Schedule 1 drug. Now, the change stops short of full legalization, eh? So Trump did not just, or the president did not just say, hey, I'm writing my signature here and all marijuana is legal everywhere. No, don't understand what happened here. But marijuana has been categorized as what is called a Schedule 1 drug. Now, you might say, what else is next to Schedule 1? Heroin? LSD? I haven't done those in years. I'm kidding. Relax. I enjoy my brain the way it's functioning most of the time. But believe it or not, marijuana, even though Connecticut is one of these states that legalized recreational adult weed, tincture products, THC products, all this stuff, technically, as far as the Drug Enforcement Administration or the Drug Enforcement Agency, I forget what the A is for, DE, though, I know that. The DEA said, yeah, technically we're going to put marijuana up there with heroin and LSD. I never really understood that. I mean, look, I'm no druggie here. I do listen to a lot of Steely Dan, but I'm not, you know, I'm not Dr. Wu. I'm not Kid Charlemagne. If you know, you know. But I never quite understood why. And I know it's because what research can you do? What medical benefits are there? But really? So you mean to tell me Connecticut went ahead and legalized something that the federal government considers up there with LSD and heroin? Wow. So I'm kind of glad this happened. I mean, listen, I haven't smoked weed in 40 years. I think I was in my mid-20s last time I did. I think I remember the party I was at, I think. Cute little brunette there, too, but nothing happened. The action moves marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug, the most restrictive Controlled Substance Act designation for drugs, with a high potential for abuse, all right, and no accepted medical value. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal here, Paul? Well, because marijuana, from what I understand, was a Schedule 1 drug, the feds couldn't or were hesitant to spend any money or fund any medical research on it. So now marijuana is, according to what Mr. Trump signed about 5 minutes ago while the show was starting here, a Schedule 3 drug alongside drugs like ketamine. And you hear that, sadly, that's, I guess, they killed Matthew Perry. There's a rumor, rumors only, allegedly a rumor that Elon Musk enjoys his ketamine while he's building rockets and Teslas. Now, marijuana technically will remain illegal to use under federal law But now get this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, but nearly all prosecutions, says here in the New York Post, of small-scale possessions are made under local law in 24 states. Three territories in D.C. allow recreational use. 16 other states allow marijuana to have medical uses. Trump tolerated state legal marijuana sales through his first two terms in office despite a federal prohibition. So what are your thoughts on this? I have no, listen. I don't think marijuana should be on a schedule with heroin, really? And LSD, really? Now, again, I have criticized, it's not that I'm all for full-scale legalization, do whatever you want. You know what I said during the run-up to marijuana legalization in the state? I said you end up mixing that with booze, which people are doing, according to police, and you're going to have a problem here. We all know that. But I'm all right with this, and it's not because it's Trump. It's not because it's a Republican. I don't know whether this is going to change or shift any votes here. But look, if you're going to allow individual states to go ahead and exercise their 10th Amendment rights and do what they want and say, okay, we can have no pot illegal in whatever state, we can have just medical marijuana, or we can have adult use recreational stuff, THC, tincture and all that stuff, edibles, whatever you want, and the medical stuff, go ahead. If you're going to allow that, the Fed should just finally loosen up on this. And maybe this will help the medical marijuana industry. Maybe we'll find out stuff about, you know, the stuff that marijuana is good for. Listen, just about everything. Look, I took my daily meds today, right? I've told you about this. How many of you folks out there take metformin? That's from a plant. How many of you out there take lisinopril for your blood pressure? That comes from, that's a chemically synthesized snake venom. Now, there's different discussions as to really how medically effective marijuana is. I get that. But I'm all right with this. I am. Even though I don't think adult, to me, adult recreational use of marijuana is like, to me, using a medication. Like, all right, makes you feel good. Is it the wisest thing? I don't know. I'm not going to judge somebody on their morals or what they do or how they want to unwind. I'm not going to make a value judgment if someone prefers a joint or two or three versus 18 beers. I mean, that's all right. But as far as the federal government saying, hey, listen, this is as bad as heroin and LSD. No, come on. No, come on. None of us believe that. But I want to hear what you think about this. Folks already weighing in on this. Question of the day, facebook.com/voiceofct. Do you support a move by President Trump to reclassify? Now, this doesn't legalize pot or marijuana nationwide. He didn't do that. What he did was he moved marijuana. And I don't know if the executive order has to be followed up with an act of Congress. I don't know. But a lot of the Republicans don't like this. Democrats are loving this. Republicans are hating it. The move of marijuana from a Schedule I drug to a lower Schedule III drug. You on board with that or not? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Tell you, with a stroke of his pen, Donald Trump, while you and I were listening to the news, top of the hour from CBS right here on Connecticut Today, major change in U.S. drug policy here. He is, by executive order, from what I can tell here, he is now shifting marijuana, which of course is legal for adult use here in Connecticut and how many other states, legal more in some states for medical use and not rec use, adult rec use. But there are five schedules of drugs in the U.S. set forth by the DEA. Marijuana, believe it or not, and I'm looking at the Schedule I drug list right now. Marijuana, for some reason, and again, I don't partake. I haven't partaken in anything to do with marijuana or THC for literally, I think it was 40 years. I think it was when I was 24 or 25 or something like that. I remember where it was. But no, it's not my thing. Somebody wants to do, again, you know my feelings on it. We would probably be better off without it than with it. But again, you know, if you're a responsible adult, you want to do what you do. God bless you. Just stay home, stay on the couch, have some time to sleep it off, stay hydrated, have some munchies, whatever you want to watch. You're binging on Netflix. You're watching my Jets lose again. You're watching my Rangers lose again. So, but me, no. I mean, I don't know. Down the road in a couple of months or a couple of years, I don't know. Maybe I'll do a show stoned one day. How great would that be? But Mr. Trump has moved marijuana now, I guess, intends to move it off of this list. Now, marijuana was a Schedule I drug, and by the way, we're already getting people reacting to this. Facebook.com/voiceofct. What do you think of this effort to classify or reclassify marijuana here? Marijuana was up there with heroin, LSD, Lucy in the Sky with, MDMA, that's ecstasy, GHB, that's a date, that's Rohypnol, that's a date rape drug, right, jeez. Mescaline, peyote, yeah, you mushroom people, and psilocybin, yeah, mushroom, well, I'm sorry, psilocybin is from mushrooms. But peyote is, it's a Native American thing, I think, right? So marijuana will now go not to Schedule 2, but to Schedule 3. You know what a Schedule 3 drug is? This is interesting. I try to learn you some stuff here. Schedule 3, Tylenol with codeine. No, just kidding. I think I took that once years ago. Testosterone, how about that? Suboxone and Subutex. The technical name of that sucker is buprenorphine. I have no idea what that's for. Anabolic steroids. There you go. Old pumpkin head there. Oh, man. Barry Bonds. Ketamine, also considered a date rape drug. Yikes. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. You may ask, what's Schedule 2? So marijuana is now being moved from the top list of stuff that's just bad and has no intrinsic values down to Schedule 3, ketamine, anabolic steroids, Suboxone, Subutex, testosterone, and Tylenol with codeine. Now it hopped over Schedule 2 substances, which you shouldn't exactly pop like Skittles, but they do have some medical uses. You know what's on Schedule 2? Said to be better than marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, OxyContin, Adderall, Ritalin, Dilaudid, whatever that is, methadone, we know what that's for, fentanyl, because, yeah, fentanyl's an anesthetic. People, it's a horrible drug when it's abused, but fentanyl's a synthetic anesthetic. Dexedrine and Vicodin. How about that? So does this send the wrong message? Is the president here just trying to kiss up to potential voters maybe for 2026 in the midterms and maybe for whomever will succeed him in 2028? Do you think this is genuine? Is this a good idea? I don't know. Ask yourselves this. Hey, self, should marijuana be up there with ecstasy, LSD, a date rape drug, psilocybin, mushrooms, and heroin? I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert in any of those, but you tell me, good move or not? Patronizing, or will this help the medical industry? All right, won't be here tomorrow, so we'll do this today, and we do it every Thursday or Friday, right around 20 past the 5 o'clock hour. Chris Caruso joins us, former Democratic state rep, longtime activist, and active in Bridgeport politics. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. Thank you. Let me first thank you and WICC for promoting the two free concerts.
Yeah, how'd that go? How'd it go?
Second, it went very, very well. We had a great turnout of people.
Nice.
Got everyone into the spirit of the holiday, and we were able to collect food, a ton of food, for veterans in need during this holiday season. So it was a great success, and thank you to you and all your listeners and the public that came. As a matter of fact, as people were leaving, they said they hear me on your show.
So, well, that's the whole
good or bad, but they heard me.
Well,
anyway.
That's the whole point, Chris. And starting with the good, and again, we're happy to help out. Well, at least the Bridgeport City Council now has a new leader here. Familiar name, but a new leader.
Yes, that's right. And you know, one vote had turned for Jeanette Heron. Jeanette was at 10 votes, and Idy Nieves was at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the city council members who hadn't voted for Jeanette in the past voted for her on Monday night, and that's what gave her the presidency. Under the city charter, you have to have 11 votes of the council, of the 20. And so she was able to amass the one needed vote, and now she's the council president for 1 year term.
Chris, you've been there before, and we talk about this all the time, and it's in the Hearst papers, and we talk about it here on the radio station. And for people maybe that don't live in the area, but they may follow what goes on, there's got to be, and Chris, from your professional and political experience, why is and why can, not just in Bridgeport, but other city and town councils, boards of alders, RTMs, you know, a lot of people may say, well, aren't you all there for the common good? Why do these issues sometimes, even on a unified body like a city council, why do they become so contentious? Is that just politics?
Well, you know, Paul, we live in a imperfect world. You know, Churchill talked about the American government and the system.
Yeah.
And, basically he saw the flaws in it, but he felt it was the best system possible. And I think, you know, in any situation where human beings are involved, there's always imperfection. There's drama. There's emotions.
Yeah.
There's disagreements. And, you know, what's happened over the years, Paul, those disagreements just grow wider.
Yeah.
There isn't the interest to sit down and work it through. When I was on the city council, I'll give you an example. Mayor Paoletta was Republican. Mm-hmm. I was a Democrat. And we would disagree on policy on the council. But right after that, we go to the diner that same night.
Yeah.
And we'd sit at the same table. And he would order something. I'd order something. And
yeah.
We'd share coffee. And it was just a different style, I think. And, you know, it's part of people who are coming on. You know, you always get some people that can be more dramatic than others, kind of more emotional. There's some people who will, you know, make an issue out of nothing. And then there's the calmer effect. So it's a mix of personalities. And that's always what democracy is. It's messy.
Mm.
And don't forget, we're a democratic republic, if there's such a thing, where, you know, we have representative form of government, but democracy plays a role in it. And there's nothing perfect. Don't forget, when you run for political office, there's no criteria or qualifications to run.
Yeah.
So you get a broad base of people. And in most cases, it works. But, you know, sometimes you get people on there that kind of bring grudges or disagreements.
Sure.
And that becomes personal and kind of gets into the ether of what's going on.
Chris, finally, as we close out 2025, we look ahead. What if you could tell the city council, hey, I'm Chris Caruso, and I want you folks, you guys and gals, starting with your first meeting in 2026, you need to tackle what first? Fill in the blank. What's the first thing the council should do in the new year, Chris?
I think let the mayor develop a vision for the city. You know, one of the struggles Bridgeport has is we really have no plan.
Mm.
We kind of go day to day. There's no vision of where we want Bridgeport to be as a city. You know, what do we want to achieve? What type of economic development do we want to encourage? Our quality of life connects with economic development, housing. But in any organization, whether it be government or nonprofit, without a plan, without a direction, you know, things flounder and you don't get the results you want.
Yeah.
So, for example, I've said for years the downtown area should be focused around arts and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not that large of a downtown. It's doable. They've done it in cities like Pittsburgh, Providence, Boston, you know, across the country. And we should be looking at something like that for our downtown. But without the vision, you know, developers coming in don't have a clear understanding of what Bridgeport wants and what it needs. And elected officials, unfortunately, spend time, you know, coming up with different ideas, but nothing that brings it all together.
Mm.
And I think that's the one thing missing in Bridgeport. If you have a vision, if you have a plan, and you constitute that plan, but you execute the plan as well, a strategic plan, I think the fortunes of the city will do well. For example, there's people that want to have a soccer field.
Yeah, yeah.
A soccer stadium, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good idea. Definitely from a cultural perspective, it'd be very positive from Bridgeport, and I think for economic development. But where does that fit in with arts and entertainment? Where does that fit in with manufacturing?
Yeah.
Where does that fit in with other economic development opportunities? So I would say, you know, if the mayor and the council got together and did a retreat where they could sit down and come up with ideas, the other thing is do a listening campaign throughout the city of Bridgeport. Find out what the residents want. What are the major issues that are affecting the residents? Here's an example, Paul.
Sure.
The commercial grand list in Bridgeport is on a decline.
Yeah, you've told me that. Yeah.
And so all that's going to do, and with this assessment that's going on now, it's going to shift the burden even more on residential homeowners.
Yeah.
All that will do is push people out of the city or not put investments into their homes and so forth because they can't afford it. So if the commercial side is going down, every effort in a plan has to be how do you bolster revenue to keep the city strong and shift the burden from homeowners. That's critically important.
Yeah. Chris, thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Yes. And we will talk in a couple of weeks, sir. Be good.
Yes.
Take care.
You too, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Chris. There you go. Chris Caruso back with him on Thursdays and or Fridays when the situation warrants in a couple of weeks. All right. All right. Things have been bizarre in Congress, have they not? These Obamacare subsidies. Nobody knows what's happening. And earlier this week, four Republicans from swing districts, I think three in Pennsylvania, one from New York, sided with Democrats as Speaker Johnson lost control of the caucus. I love this. CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian joins us for a couple of seconds on this. Nicole, good afternoon. That was quite a shot across the bow to Speaker Johnson, was it not, the other day from some of his caucus?
Yeah, that's right, but it's not the first time we've seen that happen. Keep in mind, we've seen some members of the Republican just last month over releasing the Epstein files. Now there's this discharge petition that these four Republicans signed on to as far as trying to force a vote to extend those Affordable Care Act or Obamacare subsidies. I actually talked to one of those moderate lawmakers. He basically said, look, you know, there are people in my district.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, he talked about someone who's going to have to de-enroll from the Affordable Care Act exchanges because he's not going to be able to afford these higher premiums. So, you know, many of them understand that real people are experiencing hardship or could experience hardship because of this. And so that's why this particular moderate, Congressman McKenzie and others, signed on to that discharge petition earlier this week.
Yeah, and finally, Nicole, I mean, on the other side, the Democrats looking ahead now to the 2026 midterms, I mean, they must be salivating at this. This is a huge issue the Republicans are handing them.
Well, certainly. I mean, this issue of health care, and Democrats feel that they're on offense here when it comes to this issue. But at the end of the day, both parties argue that this also is about affordability. I mean, we did see House Republicans put forth a package, a health care package. It did not include an extension of those subsidies. But they said, look, this is about trying to lower health care costs. You may not like our plan, but this is what we're trying to do. Democrats, of course, continue to argue that these subsidies will keep those premium rates down for Americans. So again, it comes down to this issue of affordability, which absolutely will be litigated in the 2026 midterms.
All right, Nicole Killian, CBS News. Nicole, thank you. We appreciate the time. Take care.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Nicole Killian there. Yeah.